Harp on Sports with Seth Harp.
You know what time it is.
3, 2, 1.
Let's do this.
Go, bartenders! Your food needs refills!
Harp on Sports, the bar, podcast, media, audio, radio, network. What do we have in store for you on this edition of the program? A little shake and bake. Tampa Bay Buccaneers, winners of 3 in a row, back to 500, in position to repeat as division champs. Have a better record with Baker Mayfield than they had with Tom Brady in more salary cap purgatory. This all culminates in one fact. I'll tell you what that is. Also, Chip Kelly, head football coach at UCLA, coming out and deciding, you know what? He's got an idea. Everybody in college football breaks apart from conferences. Every other sport stays in their conference, and it'll fix everything. Look, Notre Dame does it. That's what he said. Sounds nice if you're starting from scratch, but you're not starting from scratch. There are 34 reasons why this will never happen. Don't worry, I'm not going to go through all 34 because all 34 have the same thing in common. Tell you what that is. And also, we're going to wrap with the Gators grab bag as Billy Napier over the weekend picks up his first two transfer portal selections. Why he's onto something here and what he's doing is smart. Don't know if this is planned, but it's smart. So look at that as well. Harp on Sports, the bar, podcast, media, audio, radio network. Follow, share, like, subscribe at Harp on Sports Twitter, at Harp on Sports Instagram, Harp on Sports Auditory Route, Buzzsprout, Spotify, Apple Podcast, Harp on Sports Facebook page, Harp on Sports, the YouTube channel, and of course, harponsports.com. A little shake and bake to get things started. Baker Mayfield, that is, has the Bucs to 7-7 in first place, controlling their own destiny at home. The Bucs' final three games, Jaguars, Christmas weekend, Saints, New Year's, at Carolina. They win against the Saints, going to probably win the division. If they beat the Jags, then the Saints game is for the division, and Carolina might not even matter. Think about that. You have the Cowboys that are trying to track down the Eagles. The Cowboys still have a shot at the one seed, even though they got bludgeoned on Sunday. But there's still a path, probably going to be the two seed if they win that division. So the Cowboys are going to be playing for something till the end. So you could have a scenario in the final week of the year, 17th game, where the Bucs have nothing to play for, so they're resting all their starters on the road, essentially creating their own bye before their home game with the Cowboys or the Eagles, who are fighting for that two seed. Fascinating stuff that could play out here. But, you know, I got to thinking here. You know, 3 weeks ago, there were calls for Baker Mayfield to be benched. Okay. Give up on the season. Punt for next year. Trade away Mike Evans. Didn't happen. And Todd Bowles stuck to his guns. Bucs have won 3 in a row. They sit at 7-7. And Baker Mayfield now on the year, 3,300 yards passing, 24 touchdowns, 8 picks. Why is that important? 3,324 and 8. He's on pace if he keeps up his current pace. 4,000 yards passing, 30 touchdowns. Baker Mayfield is your comeback player of the year in the NFL, gang. He is, isn't he? Who else would it be? Baker Mayfield last year was on two teams after the Browns dumped him. He goes to Carolina, disaster. Goes out to the Rams, serviceable. Gets booted. And now he is going to throw for 4,000 yards, 30 touchdown passes, and lead his team to a division championship in which his team is likely going to end up with a better record than the one that Tom Brady had, with fewer weapons and more problems, or more salary cap problems. Chris Godwin, dude's on pace now for 1,000 yards receiving. Mike Evans has already got 1,100 yards receiving and 11 touchdowns. So Mike Evans is on pace for 1,300 yards, but 13 touchdowns. Chris Godwin's going to end up with over 1,000 yards. It's two 1,000-yard receivers. Baker Mayfield has 2,000-yard receivers. He's got running issues, too. I mean, what do we see? Devin White bailed on the team. So they still have some issues inside the locker room. But Baker Mayfield's kind of righted the ship here. And you look at their losses. They're 7-7. All their losses are to potential playoff teams. Eagles, Lions, Bills, Texans, Niners, Colts. So the one seed in the NFC, they lost to. The two seed in the NFC, they lost to. The three seed in the NFC, they lost to. Half of their losses are to the top three seeds in the NFC. Now, that doesn't bode well for the postseason, but they're losing to playoff teams. Six of their seven losses. The only loss that they have that's not to a potential playoff team is to the Falcons. And the Falcons were a potential playoff team until they laid an egg against the Panthers. But, you know, Gator fans, Kyle Trask, he's not going to out-duel Baker Mayfield here. Kyle Trask is going to be the backup to Baker Mayfield again next year, which I'm sure the Bucs are fine with that. Don't need another quarterback in there. It's going to be Baker's team next year. You've got a serviceable quarterback under a rookie contract for a year, and then you can decide what you want to do. If Trask wants to go somewhere else, fine. I want to draft another quarterback and stick him behind Baker then you're fine. But the Bucs have found their quarterback. Baker Mayfield's their quarterback. Got him under a couple-year deal. So he'll be back next year. They continue this rebuilding process. He leads them to the playoffs again next year, and then you're going to see a reworking of the deal, long-term deal, something along those lines. But Baker Mayfield's your comeback player of the year. The Bucs are on pace to finish with a better record than they did when they had Tom Brady. It's a weird year. They started off 3-1, then proceeded to go 1-6 in their next seven. Now they've reeled off three in a row. And the Jags at home, they win that one. Even if they lose that one, the Saints game at home is for the division. But if there's a way they could beat the Jags at home and beat the Saints at home, then they could rest all their starters the final week of the year and wait for the Cowboys or the Eagles to come in, because that's how that's going to work. The Devin White issue is a little bit ugly because he was relegated to – he was still going to play, just wasn't going to start. He deactivated himself, lack of a better term. And now they've got some questions, kind of quit on his guys. So it'll be interesting to see what the last 3 weeks look like for him. But tip of the hat to what the Bucs have done this year. Now you'd sit there and say, well, Todd, does Todd – I mean, this team goes 10-7. Can Todd Bowles be coach of the year in the NFL? No, because D'Amico Ryans at Houston, Shane Steichen, what he's done at Indy. I mean, Indy's got a backup quarterback, and they can win that division. Now, probably not because they got swept by the Jags, and the Jags still in pretty good shape for a playoff run, although it's tightening. I mean, it's tight on them in a hurry. The Colts, the Texans, or the Jags could win that division because the Jags – you know, lose a couple here and everything kind of comes back to earth. We've lost three in a row. But boy, even the head coach of the Browns. So Todd Bowles not going to be coach of the year material, but the job that they've done there is pretty impressive the last 3 weeks of the year. Baker Mayfield, again, on pace for 4,000 yards passing, 30 touchdowns. Comeback player of the year, which means Kyle Trask, he's one turned ankle or one late hit away from playing, but that's Baker Mayfield. That's his team, and it's going to be his team unless he gets hurt. So there you go. Should be a fun final month of the year when it comes to where the Bucs sit. Okay, so we've got that. And, you know, in the middle of the week, we'll start to look at playoff scenarios. The fact that the Bucs and the Jags play each other, the Dolphins in decent shape right now down the stretch. They got to keep that two-game lead on the Bills, because with what the Bills did to the Cowboys, you're the Dolphins. You do not want to go into that last game. I don't care if you are at home with the Bills for a chance to come in there and win that division. What does that mean? If the Bills can find a way to win that division, that means that Miami would be right back in Buffalo for week one of the postseason. You need to keep that two-game buffer. From that to this, speaking of buffer, Chip Kelly, head coach of the UCLA Bruins, has an idea. Every Division I football team, no conference. Oh, okay. This is one of those ideas that works great if you're starting from scratch and there's no money involved, but you're not starting from scratch and there are billions of dollars involved. Look, he wants a 64-team Division I conference and then another 64 team conference that's like the non-power five, the group of five. Sounds great in theory. He's like, well, look, Notre Dame does it. Notre Dame's in a conference in every other sport except football. Yeah, but they also negotiate their own TV deal that pays them, what, $20 million a year? It's a little bit different when I can negotiate my own TV deal. All these other schools don't have that luxury. Here's the 34 reasons that I hinted at, teased why this would never happen. You have 18 schools in the Big Ten and 16 in the SEC. You're going to tell me that I need to give up on my $90 million a year that I get through the Big Ten network and the SEC network? Why? To provide balance. You want me to take less money so you can be balanced? And UCLA is in this pot. Now, this sounds nice if you're starting something from scratch, but you're not starting from scratch. You're building off a previous model. So, okay, I get what he's saying. Break off, he's like, and then Amazon could sponsor a division. And I think he's thinking, what, eight divisions of eight here? And because he was talking about, like, you could have seven games. So I'm assuming this is where he's going, because he mentions you have seven opponents that you play every year. It's in your division. And then you may play three teams out of the Northeast. And then the next year you'll play three out of this division. And it's like, well, that's fine. But boy, oh boy, I'm going to be in pretty good shape if my three teams are what? Depending on the division, I'm going to be in pretty good shape if the three teams that I get settled with are Iowa State, Kansas State, and yeah, Kansas. If I get that division, I'll be in pretty good shape. Here's the other thing. I get what he's saying, but now you're asking him to bust up rivalries? Or are you going to say, no, you're going to bust up rivalries? So, gee, from my perspective, Ohio State, Michigan, Penn State are all going to be in the same division? Oh, go sit on a steak. Meanwhile, what? You have a division that has Syracuse and Boston College and Pitt and... Come on. Virginia, I'm not doing... No way. No way am I doing that. So, it's one of these things that to landscape it out and look at it this way, it's fine. But your divisions are going to be just bloated and loaded and all over the place. And you're going to start stripping away traditional rivalries. And all this stuff doesn't mean anything, because it goes back to the principle that the Big Ten has 18 teams. And part of their cities and national exposure with the Big Ten Network is going to pay these schools close to $100 million a year within the next 3 years. So you want me to scrap my massive television contract and start over? Here's how you lose. And 34, you're talking 34 of the 64 teams that he's planning. One of them is himself. So you really want me to sit at the table and you're going to tell over half the teams, I got an idea, but it's going to require you to give up money. Okay. Including you, president and athletic director at my own school. Don't worry, we'll make more money in the long run. Oh, okay. You can do that with a college football playoff, because you can go from 4 to 12 and you can lay that out like we can make more money. All right, we can make more money. We can't actually make more money because we're going to have more games and we can charge more. Well, in the long run, you'll be able to sell advertisements to... But you're asking me to go from a current model that pays me $500 million in terms of a playoff to a model that's going to pay me $1 billion because we're going to add more games. Your model is, oh, don't worry, the money will come. Again, if you're starting from scratch and there's no money involved, it's a great idea. But you're not starting from scratch, and there's tons of money. There's billions of dollars involved. Also, if I'm ESPN and I just shelled out $1 billion for the network rights to the SEC and the Big Ten, and now you're going to come through and bust this up and give me cockamamie divisions in which there's going to be schools in here I don't want? No way. Look, the networks help craft these conferences. They're not going to come through and go, I'm good with whatever. And the concept of don't worry, you'll make more money. Well, show me how. Well, then you could just sell advertising. That's the equivalent of I've got a $100 bill in my pocket. And you come to me and go, I'm going to ask you to give me a $50 bill. Give me 50 of that. Now you only have $50 bill in your pocket. But don't worry. You can go out and work hard and make $70 million more. What? But no, don't worry. You get a $100 bill. I'm going to ask you to get $50 back. But don't worry. You can sell advertisement. You can get up. $120. Now I need to work harder to help. No. I got 100 right here. One in the hand, two in the bush, that type of thing. I mean, it's a nice idea, but not grounded in reality. Wanted to wrap with this. A little Gator grab. Billy Napier losing 5-6 starters into the portal, and he's begun to rebuild this. He's got a very strong class coming in, which is great. Top 10 class coming in. So you can get away with underclassmen at receiver, running back, safety, corner. You can get away with that. The place that's damn near impossible to get away with underclassmen consistently across the board is your line. It's tough. It's tough to get away with freshmen and sophomores on the line. Well, never fear. You've got 2 fifth-year seniors coming in. Brandon Crenshaw Dixon, starting offensive tackle from San Diego State. Was he all Mountain West? And Joey Slackman, the Ivy League Defensive Player of the Year. Now look, I'm not telling you this is going to take a team that was 5-7 and turn them into 9-3. I'm not saying that. What I am telling you is if you're going to hit the transfer portal and you're going to rebuild, the place to rebuild, you want upperclassmen quarterbacks. That's why these guys are always moving around. Look at the Bo Nixes, the Michael Penix Juniors of the world. Look at Jane Daniels. Transfer quarterbacks. Yes. Offensive linemen and defensive linemen. Florida State has a stud on the defensive line. Where'd they get him? Western Michigan. You got to find these guys that are upperclassmen that you can bring in and plug in. The defensive and offensive line is the quickest way to rebuild your team in the transfer portal. So Billy Napier adds an all-conference offensive lineman and an all-conference defensive player of the year from his conference. So he adds two upperclassmen leadership up front. Now, again, not saying these guys are first-round draft picks. Not saying that at all. What I am saying is that a team that lacked leadership, maturity, because it was so young. Florida was the youngest team in the SEC last year, right? Well, it just added two fifth-year seniors starting, one on offense, one on defense. If he can add another starter on the offensive line and the defensive line, think about this. Five offensive linemen, and you had your tight end if you want to go down that route, but five offensive linemen, four defensive linemen, nine starters on the offensive and defensive line. He adds two more. He's replaced 45% of his offensive and defensive line and starters in the portal with seniors on a team that was the youngest team in the SEC. Maturity. Needs it. Needs it. And look, you can have all these young studs coming in. Freshmen become sophomores. Sophomores become juniors. I get it. But he lost a lot. Safeties, corners. I've seen freshmen be studs in college football at receiver. Quarterback, you can even get away with a quarterback at times. Look at Tebow. Johnny Manziel was a redshirt freshman. You can get away with this at times. It's almost near impossible to get away with freshmen on the offensive and defensive line. So he rebuilds through the portal, gets two there. If he can get two more, if he can get four starters on the offensive and defensive line in the portal, then he solves his maturity issue up front. And he can take his time with his incoming class. These freshmen don't have to start all right away. You know, these guys will graduate. He's got to stay active in the portal next year to bring three or four more in. But this is just the price of doing business. It never stops. Both these guys are going to start. You know, you add your fifth-year supplement. You add stability. That's what it is. Look at it this way. If it were a grocery list, it'd be bread and milk is what he's adding. Stability, structure. Now, I was sitting here thinking about this, and we talk about the portal and how big of a mess it is, and there's thousands of people in it. There's a way to kind of start to curb this. It's dirty, but there's ways to curb this. And shame on me for not thinking about this now. You have to limit the amount of portal transfers you can bring in. You want to limit this? You prohibit schools from signing more than four. It's like, oh, they'll just pay for all the athletes. Well, if you come out, now this is where the conferences are going to have to. I just talked about how Chip Kelly, it wasn't based in reality. If you really, really were upset about the transfer portal, if these ADs and presidents were really, really upset at the end of the day, what they do is go, okay, we're going to write up some legislation, some rules here. Our member institutions can only add four players via the transfer portal. We're going to limit it to four. Because if you limit it to four, all these guys hit the portal, you're only going to bring in four. What you do is then at that point, once Florida, Georgia, Texas, they get their four, what you do then is you build your schools in the middle of the bottom. Think about that, what that does for schools like Purdue and Iowa State. And think about what that does for schools, the Baylors of the world, the Arkansas. It lifts them up because now they can bring in four as well. And if Georgia and Florida and Texas get nine guys, all of a sudden they get four. They can't bring in nearly as many. You could actually use this to your advantage, the portal. And if you limit the number of portal people that you can bring in, you could really, really distribute change without really affecting the portal. And all of a sudden, I'm going to enter the portal. Yeah, there's a chance if you enter the portal, you may not end up where you want to go. And you may end up leaving, again, bad example, but you could end up leaving Florida and you could end up at Indiana. Well, I guess I'll just stick it out. That's the dirty way around this. You can do it. Only four transfers. You're going to bring in four guys for the portal. Okay, well, here's our four guys. We're done. That's how you encourage guys to stay, if you don't want to make them employees. But Joey Slackman, Brandon Crenshaw Dixon, San Diego State, offensive lineman, starter, all-conference. Joey Slackman, Ivy League defensive lineman of the year, defensive player of the year. If you can add two more, you know, your quarterback, and what we're going to add, think about lag away. Think about your underclassmen that are up there that need, you know, running back, what you have. Boy, all of a sudden, if I got four seniors that are starting on the offensive and defensive line that didn't last year, I've solved my maturity problem. I've solved my youth problem, at least on the line, where it's the most important. Get away with that at receiver, running back, quarterback, defensive back. Tough to get away with freshmen up front. Tough to get away with. Harp On Sports, The Bar, podcast, media, audio, radio network. Follow, share, like, subscribe at Harp On Sports Twitter, at Harp On Sports Instagram, Harp On Sports, Auditory Route, Buzzsprout, Spotify, Apple Podcast, Harp On Sports, The Bar, Harp On Sports, the Facebook page. Of course, Harp On Sports, The Bar, the YouTube channel. And of course, harponsports.com. We'll get to our bull predictions and all that coming up here as we get closer to Christmas. But in the meantime, remember, stay clean, stay focused, stay strong. Frankenstein. Have fun with your friends.